listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Yes, thank you to Mrs. Between the Stripes for that lovely introduction. This is Series 10, Episode 25 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. And we're back after a week's hiatus. It's Kieran Burke and it is Gary Riley coming your way. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners this season are Barrett One Betting. Gaz, good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. An unexpected week off or week's hiatus, as you mentioned. But
not really. It's been in the planning for 2 years. So I think it was fairly expected. But good to be back all the same.
Well, we could have still done a pod like.
enjoy the wedding, did you? You should be asking me that, but let's get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it was good, yeah. Everything went off without a hitch. You got a good lesson in how to dress yourself.
I did.
What more can you say? Good time had by all. Nice few days. So
we got a wee run out in Oriel as well.
New pitch. You timed that well, actually.
I did. They actually put that down for me.
Right.
Which, yeah, that was agreed.
Good to get it over the line. Don't have to hear about it anymore, I think, is reliefs. Congratulations to you.
Thanks very much. Well, of course, elsewhere, one of our good friends today has welcomed a second addition into the house. So congratulations to Lyle.
Yeah.
It's all great. Coming together quite nicely.
Absolutely, it surely is. Everyone doing well, so great news.
Yeah. But look, no one wants to hear about that. Everyone wants to hear our thoughts about what's been going on in this wonderful league of ours. I suppose this is a week where hopefully some good headlines might be generated in Europe. As we're speaking, Shamrock Rovers are currently... Oh, that was quick. Last time we checked, it was 1-1. They're now 3-1 up against Ignacia in Tala. So if they could bring that result over to Albania with them, they'd be in a very, very good position.
They most certainly would, yeah. That's a nice turnaround there.
Because last week was a real kick in the bollocks, wasn't it? I was watching the second leg when I was over in Poland, and 2-0 up after, 20-something minutes, looked like, oh, this is just going to be another Floriana job. They're going to push these aside in Tala and make their way through to the playoff round, and then it all fell to shreds. It felt like a big missed chance for Rovers to make a proper go of getting into the Champions League.
Yeah, it would have been a sensational achievement, and would have been good for the coefficient and all the rest of it. Well, no, they won that game, but they lost
the tie.
Yeah,
We had hope John might be able to join us again this week, but he's tied up. So we'll catch up with him after Shells fill in Ajax.
Yeah, exactly.
And see what that does for the coefficient.
Yeah, well, look, it does if you do beat, I think it's weighted as well. Like
it is weighted, yeah.
Yeah, so if you did beat a team from a league that's much higher than you, you know, you do get the bonus coefficient points. But I think, as John mentioned, like we'd have to be doing serious, you know, pulling up trees in Europe across the all teams. I think probably would be a bit of a stretch to say the Shells. But look, could it be one of the famous nights in Europe? Who's to say? I think when Dundalk got into the Europa League all those years ago, you were looking at could they get a couple of home draws and throw a bit of a face on it? But they had some great results. Alkmaar, in particular, away from home was a great result. Going ahead against Zenit in St. Petersburg was another one. I remember watching those games back in the day, and it was, you know, mental to see Dundalk putting it up to those teams at the higher, at the slightly higher level. And obviously back then there was no such thing as the Conference League, so you had, you know, getting into the second competition was harder again. So now there's so many opportunities. It's still an achievement, make no mistake, but it would be nicer to get into the higher one, and obviously Champions League. Actually, just on that, do you think, we waited so long, we're about 8-9 years before a team got into the group stages of European competition. It was 2011.
Yeah.
When Shamrock Rovers got in the first time. We were probably, what, 8, 9, 10 years at pricking at summer football. Do you think it'll be another 10 years before a team has a shot at getting squeezing into the Champions League?
Yeah, like this looked probably the best chance we've probably ever had. So that's why it was just such a disappointing result for Rovers last week. And look, as you said, it is an achievement for any Irish team to qualify for any sort of group stage. But I think it's almost taken as a given now that Rovers, with the champions path, with the coefficient that they've built up, the fact that they're seeded in so many of these games, it would be viewed as a major disappointment if they're not in the very least in the Conference League. So look, let's hope they get through this round over the next couple of weeks and into the playoff round of the Europa League. And it'd be great if they could get into the Europa League itself, but it does feel like a missed opportunity to maybe knock on the door of the Champions League. And I think the league season so far, like I heard today, I was listening just to a podcast and someone said there's 10 games to go. And I was like, Jesus, is that all that's left? It feels like the season has never really took off. And we'll be talking about it later, about the results over the last couple of weeks since we've last recorded a pod. But Rovers are not really purring the way we'd hope that they would be in the league. Yet they're still cruising to the title because there's nobody there to put the pressure on them. And it just feels like with Duffer gone as well, there's just a lack of headlines been generated within the league at the moment. So to have Rovers maybe in a Champions League playoff, it would have been a great boost for the league, I think, just to try and break into the main news cycle as such.
Like if they got into the Champions League.
But even get into the playoff round for the Champions League. I mean, the last time that was done was Dundalk when they got there and played Leggy and the Aviva. And it was, what, 30,000 at the Aviva. Like, it would have been a great story for Rovers to get even that far.
Certainly would have been. Oh, that was the tie that Robbie Benson scored that absolute world of a volley. In Warsaw.
That was out in Warsaw, yeah.
Yeah, geez, that was some finish. I think it would have definitely upped it, but I think, is there a bit of novelty being worn off European competition? Like, maybe
if you look at Rovers' attendances so far in the qualifiers, they haven't been fantastic. I know, like, the likes of Aratat or whatever they were called, Armenia and Ignacia, they're not household names, so. Mm-hmm. This story of, oh, well, if we lose this, we drop into the next, you know, that's probably not going to get the armchair fan out of the armchair and out the Talis Stadium. Whereas, you know, if you offered a lad a ticket to this Ajax game in Talca, I'm sure they'd take it with both hands.
It's definitely a different story that you're selling. Like, you know, Shell's playing Ajax. There's some big names. It's a historic club, well-known club, like I've mentioned before. Like going to some of the stadiums around Europe that I would have watched when I was like 6 or 7 on RT2 on a Tuesday and Wednesday evening. You know, to have those opportunities to get to these places. And now, like, I've been to a couple of Ajax games. It is amazing to have like a team like that. And I suppose like probably one of the biggest ties probably since AC Milan, but that was behind closed doors in Tal at that time with COVID. I think Ajax signed Julian Brandt and some other chap today or in the last few weeks. Hold on now, because I did look it up. I did not look it up, Moon of the Lads. Oh, they signed Ter Stegen as well.
Oh, right, okay.
So, you know, Sean Boyd has a bit of an extra blocker in front of him if he's not suspended.
He's injured.
Oh, he's injured now. Okay.
He's injured, yeah.
But look, fair enough. But yeah, so look, if Rovers get through this tie, they'll be guaranteed the group phase for Conference League, I believe. So it kind of takes with the jeopardy of it, though. You know,
I think you're right. There is probably a little bit of the novelty as worn off. You probably do need them big name ties, but those big name ties, obviously, they're not great for progression. So, I'm sure Rovers are happy just to keep plodding their way through the...
I think, obviously, with the Conference League, like, there is also an element of, like, we're playing teams that no one has ever heard of before to a degree in some of the games.
Yeah, I think the happy marriage in the, if you get into the league phase is you wanted in like the year they got the likes of Larne, I think TNS they played them that year as well, didn't they? They got a couple of handy ones and then they got Chelsea as well. So you're getting your glamour tie, but you're getting your games that you can win and give yourself a chance to make it through to the next phase. So I think that's what Rovers will be hoping for if they make it into the Conference League. If they get into the group stages of the Europa, then there's probably not going to be very few easy ties for them. It'd be a real test for Shamrock Rovers. But at the moment, going along well there against Ignacio, which is good to see. Bulls play Michelin later in the week, and as we touched on, Shells heading to Amsterdam to take on Ajax. So look, hopefully some sort of positive headlines can be generated from those games, because as I said, I just don't feel like this has been the most exciting of league seasons so far.
I remember what like digging out the dodgiest of strings, like watching like Cork play, who was it? Gent or Genk or some of them boys. And I'm like, some lad's mouse was like flying across the screen on the telly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was very much, I think it was more back then, you know, there's a lot of commentary around like, oh no, I don't care who Shamrock Rovers are playing. I want them to lose. Even if it does mean, you know, progression at a higher level in Europe, bringing up the coefficient, getting more spots, maybe. Obviously, there's all this bullshit going on in the Northern Irish Football League at the minute. Who even knows if the games are going to go ahead at the weekend? It's their opening weekend at the minute. Have you been following that?
I've been seeing bits and pieces of it online and I haven't really dug down into it. It just seems to be an absolute mess up there.
Yeah, it's got to do with the... just to go in slightly to it, but it just goes to show, like, you know, we have some problems in the league. We're doing a lot of good work in a lot of different places, but like just up the road, it's still a bit of a basket case. They
really is, yeah.
They had a third tier league, and four of the teams they did a bit of a rejigging match, and the third tier now is under a different association, like a Leeds association. I think it's the Northern Irish Amateur Leagues Association or something like that. But that meant that teams that were relegated out of the second tier are now not under the umbrella of the Northern Irish Football League, which is against their own rules.
Right.
So now I think Banbridge have like lodged an appeal. There's this EGM supposed to go on tonight. It was on, it was off, it was on again. I think that's just all done in the last few hours, recording here on Tuesday evening. Don't know the outcome of that yet. But basically it just means it leaves the whole thing open. You know, if a team isn't happy 20 games in, they're getting stuffed or whatever, they could raise a legal objection to the whole lot and it could all be done. So, and also it impacts their... European spots that they get, I think, as well. So a right old mess up there. Like, so on one hand, you know, it's great to see like we actually have all the qualifier games on streaming options and stuff like that. You know, a lot of progression has been made, to be fair, but you know, just look up the road and it's in a lot more of a dire situation. And I think games are starting at this weekend in those divisions. So yeah, hopefully it all works out for them, because it wouldn't be ideal to have like a real mess of a league up in Northern Ireland. So yeah.
Fair point. As I was saying there, I just feel like there's been a lack of headlines this season across the league, but one man who's generating them by the day at this stage is James McLean. I would love to get your thoughts on everything that's gone on with him since we last recorded the show.
I don't follow James McLean on anything.
Well, look, forget the social media stuff, I suppose.
I have seen it. I'm just like, I remember back in the day, we used to be like, oh, there's a couple of League of Ireland players that are definitely going on to Twitter and searching their own name.
Yeah.
You know, and it was definitely, you know, when he hammered the Irman there a few months ago, he was definitely searching his name because he wasn't tagged or anything like that. He's definitely just finding stuff. He's getting stuff sent to him. I just think, like, for a man that has had, like, you know, 100 appearances for his country. Probably didn't win a bag in his career, but like he played at a reasonable level and he had a fairly long career. Do you know what I mean? Like he wasn't, you know, he's an old man in football terms now, to be fair, and he's still playing. Now, I know the quality hasn't been fantastic, but it seems to be he has a lot of time on his hands to be chirping back at people on Instagram and such. Yeah, I don't know. On one hand, like, you know, he definitely has a mentality to keep going and keep plodding along, but like on his social media output is obviously very much more, you know, junior cert stuff, really, chirping away at people and stuff like that. But I think on a more interesting note, the football or lack thereof and the state of Derry season anyway is definitely more interesting. I thought that Joker hat thing was a bit mad.
But that's the thing I kind of wanted to get your opinion on more than the social media side of stuff. He obviously wasn't in the squad for the game in Croatia. He rocked up in the Joker hat. You can read into that what you will, but it was his post on Instagram after where he appeared to directly, without naming Tiernan Lynch, it looked like he was directly challenging the authority of the manager there. And I'm just looking at this from Tiernan Lynch's perspective. He was asked three or four times after the Pats game on Sunday about the situation with McLean, and he didn't give, he basically stonewalled the journalist on three or four occasions, just gave the generic answer of, you know, I'm concentrating on the players that are here today or whatever. I really think he needs to come out and do something quite authoritative, Lynch. Roddy Collins was right on this from the get-go. He said that Lynch will not have that. He won't have control of the dressing room with McLean going in there. He won't be able to drop him. I think Lynch, though, he's in a difficult situation because he doesn't have the support of the fans at this moment in time because of the horrendous results.
Yeah.
So if he comes out and he said in his interview on Sunday, I am banishing James McLean from the first team until until he apologizes to me and his teammates. I don't know how that would go down with the fans at the moment, given Lynch's lack of buy-in from the supporters. But at the same time, I also think that Lynch has been let down by the club as well. I think the board need to deal with this. And there needs to be a serious sit-down between the two of them. Clear the air and then both move on. Or I think the board has to come out here and say, Tiernan, you're the manager. How do you want to deal with this? And if he wants to banish McLean from the first team, I think that should be the manager's prerogative.
Yeah, I think there's... It's a very difficult situation because, like, I think it's almost accepted that, you know, Lynch probably didn't have much of a say in the arrival of James McLean. Now, if I was Tiernan Lynch, difficult first year, qualified for Europe all the same, would I be happy enough to get someone like James McLean in?
Yeah.
Yes, I would. Would I have been happy that I was taxed with Paddy McLean? No. But I think there was enough excitement around James McLean. I thought it was, you know, great to have him back in the league. Excuse me. And it did add to it. But also, like, his, you know, we very early on, we were concerned about, like, what if he plays shite? You know, similar to what Roddy Collins said. If he plays shite, he's hard to drop. I mentioned a few months ago that he needs to have a muscle strain and be out for a couple of games and just be not doing it. But, you know, there to support the lads and, you know, cheer them on or whatever. I think it's just, I don't really know how it resolves itself from here. I think...
But, I mean, he's not contributing on the pitch. It's not as if he's having these outbursts and he's playing unbelievable and Lynch is in a position where he's like, I'd love to kick this fella out, but I can't because he's playing so well. McLean isn't able to get in that Derry team at the moment. He's not able to get in the matchday squad at the moment. You know,
what's that based on?
He's revealed to us earlier in the season, one specialist told him, you shouldn't be playing football, lad. Now, another lad has since told him, you've got a chance to keep playing football, and that's great, and we're all glad. But he's coming towards the end. He's got another year left on his contract up there. Whether he actually sees that out or not, who knows? But even if Tiernan Lynch leaves tomorrow morning, the next man that comes in is going to have the exact same problem. If he loses his first couple of games and he decides, all right, James, I gave you a chance there last week against Dundalk and you played like shite, so you're on the bench this week. Next thing McLean takes to Twitter again, Instagram again, we're back to square one. So I really think that the board need to kind of wade in here. Now, there could be stuff happening behind the scenes. There could be disciplinary stuff going on. Who knows? But I think the lack of any sort of communication from the manager, from the board over the last few days about what's been going on, I think that shows a real weakness from the club. I think it says a lot about where the club is right now.
Yeah, maybe so. Like, it is a sticky one. Like, you know, he's the son of Derry City Football Club to a degree. Might be overstating that a bit, but
I think a lot of the supporters up there, though, are sick. They're sick to the teeth of it now at this stage as well.
Well, they are, of course, sick to the teeth of it. They're sick to the teeth of where they are on the table. Mm. And, you know, a 1-1 draw coming back from Pats isn't a bad result, but it's not exactly as if Pats are beating the shit out of everyone that they come up against either. I think on a more heartfelt note, does James McLean want to do well for Derry City? Because it doesn't feel like that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, it just feels like the me show.
To a degree. We're not getting into politics. When Trump got elected the first time, I remember a lot of people were like political, you know, commentators or whatever were saying, like, I hope he fails. So I was like, yeah, but you're saying you want your country to fail. Like, it didn't really make sense. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you might hate Trump or whatever, but like, you still want the country to succeed as a whole. You know what I mean? Mm. And like, if James McLean and Tiernan Lynch don't shake together, okay, that's not ideal. But you still want Derry to do well. You still want to have a successful season. He's running out of time in his career. Does he want to go back, in 5 years' time or 10 years' time? You know, he might be farting around doing some commentary on RTE or something like that, or who knows what he'll be at. And next thing you know, he goes, "Jesus, I made a right balls of that." That'd be a shame for him.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, that's a fair point.
And I think you know, everybody wants their club to do well, and they'd rather not fall out with anybody. But I think it's gone on between James McLean and the social media. Like, it seems like there's always something on social media. Like, wasn't it, what, like a few days before a game that the brother was eating Chinese or something like that? You know, like, that's not James McLean's fault. Like, you know, the brother's entitled to live his life and eat whatever he wants. But I'm just saying, like, it just doesn't seem like, we know it's not harmonious. There's no question about that. Mm. But also, would you rather just see the club you came from do well? Yeah. Yes. And I think probably James has let that, you know, be clouded by his apparent issues with Tiernan Lynch. Because even like a few weeks ago when he said on RTE about like, oh, things were said and...
Yeah.
You know, sort that out or don't sort that out. You know, what do you want, like? Do you know what I mean?
As you said at the time, that wasn't probed out of him. That came out with a back pocket prepared speech.
Oh,
job
absolutely.
There.
Like, he was thinking about that.
How's the family? Well, promises were made, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, crazy stuff.
Yeah. Even the stuff we haven't even touched about, the stuff with Roddy Collins. Roddy's walking along in Spain or wherever he is, top on, in the sun. He's smirking into the phone. He knows he's going to get a reaction. And yeah. McLean's only too happy to sit down in his gym and do a 4-minute TikTok or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And all this stuff about the stuff with Roddy Jr. I just thought that utterly, utterly bizarre stuff.
Crazy. I don't know. And like
you as know, we said, and you said it earlier there, this lad has played over 100 times for his country. He's played in the Premier League. He's gone through all sorts in England. And today there, I've seen a day after he's announced he's taking a social media break, he's getting in a spat with some 16 or 17-year-old.
Yeah. Like, madness.
Madness.
Like, and also, like, imagine, you know, you were like, I don't know, a Joe Soap player, bursting yourself as best you can for Derry. And the talisman is home. this lad who has achieved so much in the game, he's back to play with his hometown team. And like, you know, he's calling, you know, children virgins on Instagram. What? You're like, like, imagine, you know, the way, like, you're like, who am I going to follow? I'm in this situation here. There's 10 lads here. We're in the dire straits. And we're playing, like, I said, Derry, who are they playing? Oh, geez, they're home to Sligo on Friday. That's a Aki Momo game for them. They've never had a great record against Sligo. So you're like, right, geez, you know, I'm going to have a strong training session this week. As Tiernan Lynch likes to remind everybody, the best training session's going. And, but like, you know, you're sitting around talking to each other. You might have a bit of a sort out that you're not doing this. You need to do better. I need to do better. You're a prick. I'm a prick. And then like you go home and you kind of do a bit of soul search and you open up Instagram and James McLean is like having a row with children. You're like, oh, right. Oh, I didn't want to hear that fella. Like, you know, he has nothing to say to me. He has no advice to dish out to me. Like their season is over. Like they've won 6 games.
Ah, jeez.
In 26. It's pathetic. It is truly pathetic. So that's my real question, or one of my major concerns. What's he thinking of? You know, what's the, you know, in a couple of years time and he looks back or he hangs up the boots or whatever. Did he do everything he could for Derry City?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point to end it on because, as you said, he's had an amazing career. And I remember him starting out at Derry and bursting onto the scene. And I remember one of his last game in Ireland was actually, remember that ill-fated friendly competition that was set up in the Aviva? I can't remember the name. It was like the Celtic Cup or something, but it was like a League of Ireland 11, Inter Milan, Celtic and Man City.
What?
It was across 2 days, and it was like I think if I remember rightly, the FAI done like a 10-year deal with this company that this would happen every year. And the first year, across the 2 days, there was something like 16,000 or 17,000 people at, like, it completely fell on its arse. But McLean was in the League of Ireland 11 side, and I remember watching him, and like they were getting pasted obviously in most of the games. But I just remember watching him, and you could see he had that bit about him, and then he went to England and absolutely burst onto the scene at Sunderland in the Premier League.
Mm.
So, like, he has had an amazing career, and he's gone back. We were all hoping this was the fairy tale ending, back to his hometown club, maybe inspired them to a league title. But look, if they don't win a league title, it's not James McLean's fault. They haven't won one in 30 years. But this will be such an ungraceful way for him to end it all. If at the end of the season, Derry say, look, you know what, don't bother coming back next year.
Yeah, and take your brother with you.
To be fair, if you speak to Derry fans, they'll say he's been one of the better players recently.
Yeah, but like, you know, who knows how that deal was done?
I don't really care about that.
Roddy
Collins seems to have the answer on that. Suppose we're not really sticking to our usual format this week because we've got 2 weeks to talk to catch up on. The other big story that happened while we were away, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it as well, the FAI rolling back on trying to align football in this country. They wanted all the schoolboy leagues, etc., to go summer, and they've now rolled back on that. Just give me your thoughts on that very quickly.
I know a lot of people are very critical about the FAI. I think you were one of those people. I think, though, I said it a few years ago, I think we just need a lot of people to exit their little football associations and their little...
Is it not the FAI's job to govern football in this country?
It is. But that doesn't mean that a group of people can't cobble themselves together and go away and set up their own thing. You know, they don't have... like, what are the FAI going to do? The FAI police aren't going to come out to, you know, some pitch somewhere and be like, sorry, this isn't an FAI-sanctioned competition. You'd be ran, like.
Hmm.
So, like, there is a medium position that, you know, they have to sell it, and maybe they didn't sell it well enough. But there's also, and I think everybody listening to this podcast that has ever kicked the ball at underage level knows the type of arseholes that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, they're just not exiting the game as quickly as we might like. It is frustrating. There are, you know, a lot of people listening to this podcast can probably name off the people that would have resisted this change being put through. So I wouldn't be as harsh on the FAI because you don't want the headline of being like 300 children can't play football now.
Yeah, okay, very balanced, fair enough, I'll give you that. Right, let's just flick through some results.
What do you think about it?
My initial thought would have been the FAI have shat the bed, but I think what you've said is very fair, so I'm happy to sit somewhere in between on that. Yeah. So we'll just fly through some results. Premier Division, Dundalk 1, Sligo Rovers 1, Drogheda 0, Shamrock Rovers 0, Waterford 1, Shelburne 0, we'll talk Shells in a minute actually, Pats 1, Derry 1, and Bowes 1, Galway 1. Our friend Maxi, he almost got the draw act up there, didn't he? 4 draws out of 5. Just incredibly unpredictable league at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Super results by Waterford.
Yeah, I watched that one on Sunday, and they were fully deserving of the result. But Shell's fans were furious at the end of this one. They absolutely hammered their team from the away end, and that has continued and it's spilt into the online community now. They've been very, very critical of the players. Obviously, John Russell's only gone in there. He's only in there a wet weekend, so there's no real attention going the way of the manager just yet. But it definitely hasn't been an ideal start for him. Going out against Kerry, and okay, they got through against Caldew, but they did lose the second leg the other night. Look, got through, so job done there. But then they lose in Waterford. And look, I said it a couple of weeks ago that I was worried when I heard Harry Wood was leaving, because I saw Shells just before he left. And I mean, he was absolutely dragging that team, carrying them on his back. Now that he's gone, they look a distinctly average side.
Yeah, I think that was always the risk. They probably just don't have the squad, really. You know, we've been saying for a number of years about, we'll say, their goal scoring issues. Like, they have scored 35 goals this season, which isn't, you know, it is middle of the pack. Like, it's actually almost a direct reflection of where they are on the table. I think it is probably frustrating that, like, they haven't, you know, there was no defense of the title. And nothing has really kicked on since that great year. You know, qualifying for European competition, which was a favourable draw, there's no doubt about that, but no one really gives a shit about that except anoraks like us. And, you know, even there the other night, an opportunity to jump into fourth position if they had won that game, or at least be level on points with Dundalk, who drew on Friday. And Shells knew that on the way down, on the bus down to Waterford, they knew that a win on the board would draw them level with Dundalk. So it's not ideal, a result like that, and it has been a difficult start for John Russell. It's a tough one. It does kind of mean, though, in my head, I think that's the end of Sligo.
Do you think?
I think
again, since we've recorded last, Will Fitzgerald is gone. He's gone to gone to Shamrock Rovers. But the new manager's gone in there, Darren Pearce. And I thought his post-match interview, I don't know, did you catch it after the Dundalk game, was very, very interesting.
Can you tell me about it?
He fairly went to town on his team. Now, they were lucky to get a point out of the game. Dundalk conceding another late goal here, a really poor goal to give away Dundalk. Sligo get out of town with a point, and you thought new manager, he's gone in there, he'll probably throw out the usual stuff of, you know, great character from the lads and this is something we can build on and blah blah. He actually fairly hammered the players defensively. He was quite happy with his defensive players, but he seemed to really take some of his forward players to task that they weren't doing enough. And I just thought that was a very interesting approach from a new manager that's gone in there. It'll be interesting to see what kind of reaction he gets from the players off the back of that.
I think there's an element.
I did spot one relative of a Sligo player calling the manager a clown online. So it might not have gone down that well, that post-match interview within the dressing room, but who knows?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot does be said about, like, manager interviews and stuff like that. Like, you know, you might give them a hairdryer treatment and then, like, stand in front of them at a post-match interview. Do you know what I mean? Like, he might hammer them in one internally and back them externally. You know, manager has to decide what way is right. I think the external ones are always good because, you know, it creates, not always good, but like they can be useful because it creates a jibber jabber amongst the players outside of, you know, the manager roaring in your face in front of you. I think it's it is an interesting one if he did go hard on the players considering they're so new. But I think like the sale of Will Fitzgerald, like who's there to do anything for them really? You know what I mean? Like it's a real nightmare.
In fairness to my boy Keane Kavanagh, he scored 4 goals in the last 4 games.
Yeah, that's a big surprise actually.
He's brought in a couple of lads from Cardiff with him, the new manager, so we'll have to see how they get on. But
I assume those boys are on loan, are they?
No, I think some of them have signed permanently, but I think a lot of people are sharing what you've just conveyed there. A lot of people feel like it is now, it's going to be relegation for Sligo this season, one way or another.
I think, like, they just have, like, you know, we've often mentioned even this year, like, the goals that Elding popped up with, you know, the real bangers that he scored, dug them out of holes, rescued points. They just don't have anybody like that. And I think, on one hand, is it a signal from the club letting Will Fitzgerald go?
Yeah, was the reported fee about 75k or something? I mean, it's going to cost them a lot more if they get relegated. And you said it at the time, like Elding went in pre-season and they got a good chunk of change for him. Now, it was probably bad timing that it was so close to the start of the season, it was difficult to get anyone in with them, despite the fact they got a good chunk of change for Elding. The summer window's come and gone now, and okay, they brought in Jamie McGonigal, he's yet to really get going. And they have brought in some of those young lads from Cardiff. And they were obviously never going to go out and sign someone of the same level and calibre of Owen Elding. But it does look like there's been a bit of cost cutting there. And I know it's very difficult for Sligo. They're a fan-ran club and they're trying to do it the right way in fairness to them. But it just looks like they might be running out of rope now.
It does appear to be the case. Yeah, it's a real tough situation, but yes.
Like you can't, if the people running the club feel this is what we have to do just to keep this bloody thing alive, we can't even think about relegation, then that's unfortunately the way it is. You can't hammer a club for being prudent. If they went out and spent 100,000 on a striker and stayed up, but at the end of the season they haven't got enough money to pay the wages or pay for this or that, then is that the right thing to do? Do you know, it's extremely difficult.
Yeah, that's true. But like, can you not sell Will Fitzgerald, your captain?
You mean not sell him?
Yeah, not sell him.
If they feel they're going to go down, maybe themselves, 75k in the bank, it's helped them land a bit softer in the first division next year.
Yeah, maybe so. Like, I think when Offord Town got relegated all them years ago, it actually was very, well, there was plenty of years pricking in the first division. It probably allowed the club a bit of time to breathe.
It did, yeah.
You know, sort stuff out. It make, like, the stadium got a lot of improvements. It was tipped up a bit. You know, stuff was able to be done. There was a bit more space to breathe, you know, that you weren't trying to keep up with the teams around you or above you. So, yeah.
Look, that's all very negative talk from us at the minute. They're only 3 points adrift of Waterford, 5 points behind Drogheda, so it's not all over yet, and maybe that bit of a rollicking from the manager might spark something in them. I suppose just to touch on a constant theme on the pod throughout this season, though, it is so disappointing that nobody's been able to put the pressure on Rovers. Pat's dropping points at home, Bo's dropping points at home as well. Just looks like Rovers are just kind of cruising to the title.
Certainly is. Like Pat's have 1 win in 5. What's that about? Like, that's garbage. You know, a 1-1 draw away to Waterford, a 1-1 draw home to Dundalk, and a 1-1 draw home to home to Derry.
Tate Rovers out of Waterford are the form team in the division.
Yeah, like I think we have noted, like, it's kind of similar in the first division, that there's a lot of teams knocking around each other, that it's a bit nip and tuck, which is good for the teams in it, but, like, you know, for, we'll say, us as first division fans, well, I'm a genuine first division fan, you're a bit floaty, but, like, your team, like Dundalk, haven't won a game in five themselves, which is probably a bit of a, you know, would you say that Shelburne might be a bit more capable of taking that?
I would have said that a couple of weeks ago, and I wouldn't be so sure now, having watched Shells on Sunday against Waterford. As I said, they look a distinctly average side. Okay, Dundalk have obviously lost some key players. There seems to be a lot of excitement about the lad Dylan they've brought in from QPR. Me and you obviously watched Dundalk up in Richmond the night before my wedding. We went up to the Lily White and watched it on the TV there, and they played extremely well. They played very well on Friday against Sligo as well, and they should have took all 3 points there. So despite the setbacks, Dundalk are still showing positive signs, but they keep giving away set pieces and they keep giving away late goals. That's not helping their cause, but Dundalk could actually be further on up the road away from Shells.
They should be, or they could be?
They should be, probably, yeah.
Yeah, but they're playing like ass.
Dundalk?
Well, that's a bit strong.
Shells are playing like ass. Dundalk are playing okay.
Yeah, and they're not winning any games. You know, when was the last time they won a game? Not today or yesterday.
Mm.
So, like, you know, we can be all shucks and everything is grand. The last time they won was actually that in the middle of June against Bowes.
Well, if you were to ask me right now today who's going to finish fourth, Dundalk or Shells, I'd say Dundalk.
I don't think we've been long enough away from the loss of Aruby and Kenny. I think we haven't got the full effect of that just yet. Okay. And I think, you know, middle of September, Shells will just sneak ahead and that'll be the lot. It'll be a great return to the Premier Division, make no mistake.
Yeah, 100%.
And no matter what way you cut it, but, like, there'll still be a bit of, like, oh, could we got Europe?
Yeah, that's fair. So, yeah. I think that's it from a Premier Division perspective for now. Into the First Division, we had a double game week. The only three teams that picked up 6 points from six, Longford Town, Cork City, who are now 20 points clear at the top, only need another 10 points to win the bloody division. Mm-hmm. And the other team was Kerry FC. He scored 7 goals in 2 matches. 4-0 winners in Bray and 3-0 winners at home to Cove in the Munster Derby. Kerry are coming with a right rattle now. They're into the playoff places.
Certainly are. They're really turning the screw. They've had some really good results in the last little while. Obviously the cup win as well. It's finally starting to click to some degree. We really can't really complain. Like, they've even had like some decent results that, you know, you mightn't have expected away from home against Wexford in particular was the one that comes to mind. I think they drew 2-2 in that game, and that was only an equaliser in the last minute, I think, that rescued a point for Wexford. So, like, they have been brimming to a degree in recent weeks, and look, it shows in the table. Goes back to the fact, though, that, like, I think from seventh to second, there's 6 points.
Mm.
So, you know, a good little run of form really shows a good face on the table for you. One team that does deserve a mention is Treaty.
I think we flagged this as well. This might be on the way, this little run of form.
Yeah, rightly so. We weren't that down in the dumps about them after Longford Town bet them just before the mid-season break. I thought they were quite decent. Longford Town had to dig in deep on Friday night to beat them. Great finish by Dara Murtha, who has 5 goals in his last 5 games.
Vardy-esque.
Absolutely. Keep that going now. And I wonder what the record is.
For the league or for Longford?
Oh, for the league.
We'll have to look into that.
Who would that be now? Probably Davy O'Sullivan probably has, when he was pissing them in for Longford all them years ago.
Surely someone like Jason Byrne or Glenn Crowe or some of them boys must have scored in 6 or 7 games in a row, no?
I was just trying to think of more recent than that. Like, they're like David O'Sullivan is more recent than the two of them.
Yeah. LOI Statos, let us know.
Yeah. That's something that we should look into, to be fair. But a sensational achievement and a great header there on last night, actually, or yesterday evening for Darragh Marta. And look, as I said, Longford Town had to dig in deep on Friday to keep the clean sheet to get that win. But, you know, Treaty are on a great run of form, and it shows that, you know, put a few wins together, you can really be sniffing at those playoff positions. I'm not sure that they have the stones to keep it going for the playoffs, but it could very well be the case.
I don't think they're playoff contenders, but if they can finish anywhere bar the bottom, I think given where they've been all year.
Harps have that nailed on.
Yeah, unfortunately. We're going to hear from Patrick McElhenney in a minute or two. I caught up with him after the game in Longford yesterday, but one thing that he did say, which I thought was quite interesting, I had read some comments after his first game in charge against Cork, where he talked about the style of play he wanted to implement, etc. And after watching them yesterday in Longford, I asked him afterwards what was more important between now and the end of the season, getting results or trying to implement that style of play. And he very much feels that implementing that style of play, and whether he's there next season or not, leaving the place in a better shape than he's arrived into, and putting some sort of foundation in place, that's what's most important. But you could look at that and say, is the rest of the season now a write-off for Finn Harps? What we might do, Gary, we'll bring you that interview with Patrick McElhenney, and then we'll chat a bit more after this. Patrick, I suppose a real baptism of fire, wasn't it? You couldn't have asked for a tougher task against Cork last week, and you come to Longford this week, who are flying at the minute, and next week you've got Bray, so maybe a bad time to take charge.
It doesn't cross my mind about who we were playing, or, you know, I think we were the better team today for 30 minutes. Plan was working, and we switch off from a free kick. We don't stand over the ball, and we don't track a runner. It's unforgivable, really, but and then the red card just before half time, as I said there, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah, obviously, look, your team is 1-0 down going into the break, but you're very much still in the fight, and then for a red card like that to happen, I haven't seen it myself, but the assistant referee is obviously very close, and he's frantically waving the flags, as was the suggestion, is maybe an elbow or something has been thrown. How disappointing is that for you as a manager, for your team to get themselves in that situation?
Again, look, I genuinely haven't seen it. I was looking elsewhere whenever it happened, so I'll need to look back at it and see, but obviously it's about 10 seconds before the break, so it's an uphill task.
And Shawnee comes on, and he's probably lucky to get away without not getting a straight red, and then he gets himself a second yellow. You're without some key players at the minute. You're out Conor Torres today, Joel Bradley Walsh, Lamingo is missing, players you can't really afford to be without, and now you've got two players suspended for Friday.
It just gets tougher, but look, it's part of managing, and you just have to try and find solutions. I think today, as I said, we're obviously missing two centre-backs and a striker. Joel fell ill yesterday and had to get surgery, but he's actually okay now, which is good, but we had to adapt and had to figure things out. And as I said, for 30 minutes, I thought we bossed the match. We were in complete control, and then you can't switch off, though. You can't switch off and give away them goals. And then it's an uphill task.
I suppose your appointment caught a lot of people by surprise. Have you hung up the boots now for good?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm stopped playing now.
Done. Yeah. And look, an amazing career. Can you look back at it with, have you achieved everything you'd like to achieve? Is there regrets? How do you reflect on, or going straight into this job, have you had time to reflect on your playing days?
No, not really. More just the messages and calls you get after it, and that's kind of probably the best part, but I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. Obviously proud moments and great memories, but hardly think about them right now too.
Yeah, for sure. Has this always been an ambition to get into first team management?
It has. I've always wanted to do coaching side yet, so when this came up, it was you're going to have obviously new owners and that coming in, and it's just laying the foundations for where the club's looking to go. It's obviously been very difficult with injuries and stuff like that and red cards now, but it's all part of it. I'm learning every day.
Obviously the takeover, everyone's hoping it can go through and kind of breathe new life into the club. Did you speak to the potential new owner before you took this position? And I know you're only here for the moment until the end of the season, but what's kind of the greater plan that you might have in mind?
I just spoke briefly. My job right now is to try and lay the foundations of where the club's trying to go. But look, we'll see what happens now in the next few weeks or something.
You've taken over with the club, obviously, a low ebb at the moment. How do you go about trying to pick those players up and turn things around? I was reading some of your comments after the Cork game as well, where you spoke about how you want your team to play. Mm-hmm. What's more important to you now? Is it trying to instill how they play and the way you want them to play, or is it just trying to get them results to get you off the bottom of the table?
For me, for the future, it's how we play. And I think the first 30 minutes, that's how I want to play. We just have to tidy up on the wee things that stand over a ball or stopping crosses or tracking runners. That's the things we need to tidy up on. But as for how we want to play, first 30 minutes is similar enough.
A lot of the lads you brought on as well, very young players, not with a huge amount of League of Ireland experience. I know the transfer window is closed now. Is there a hope you might be able to get some free agents in?
Possibly, just for the rest of the season. Probably going to need a couple of bodies, but again, it'll have to be the right ones, but we'll wait and see how that goes.
Of course, you did very well to get Kieran in on loan during the week, such an experienced player, so having him around the place can only be a big help.
For sure. I think that, obviously, Jackie Kieran coming in, he played 90 against Cork. He hadn't played 90 in a long, long time. So it's 60 minutes there today. You have to try and manage him, and then, again, you're bringing... The only thing you can have is teenagers to come on, which is brilliant learning for them. But the squad definitely needs a look on it.
I was kind of joking on the commentary there. Kieran, he's so associated with Derry and would have played in lots of the derbies against Harps, and obviously you're a man that's very much associated with Derry as well. Is it a strange feeling having all these Derry men coming into Finn Harps?
Not really. I haven't really thought about it, but I just know that Jackie's one that you'll be wanting to keep around, and he'll be good on and off the pitch for everybody.
If you can get some good results between now and the end of the year, I'm sure that'll be all water under the bridge, your Derry association.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Patrick, thank you and best of luck for the rest of the season.
We really hope you're enjoying this week's episode. Feel free to show your support by leaving a rating or review wherever you're listening. You can also support the show by buying us a virtual beer or coffee via buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI, where you can also join our members club for all the latest exclusive BTS content.
Yeah, so great to catch up with Patrick McElhinney. I have to say, one of my favourite players ever in the league.
I'll get off him, will you?
We're all starting to feel a bit older now, seeing all these lads take up management positions. But just as we were touching on before we played the audio out there, it really does feel like it's going to be maybe a case of things getting worse at Harps before they get better. That was a terrible result for them yesterday. 5-0 defeat, two men sent off. He doesn't seem to have much to work with there. I think he had a 15-year-old on the bench yesterday. I think everyone's just hoping that takeover goes through and there's better times ahead for Finn Harps, because on and off the pitch they are really struggling right now. It's not nice to see.
I think, look, they were extremely poor yesterday. There's no doubt about it. But like, Longford were quite clinical. Could have scored probably a couple more. The sendings off were stupid. I didn't see the first one. It was off the ball. But you know, it was a bit of a coup to get Bosicani in, is that right?
Yeah.
And he was lively enough. He was good at holding up the ball. He seemed to be the only real major bright spark for Harps. And then Bradley comes on, should have been sent off for the first tackle, no question about that. Never a yellow card, never even in the same diocese as a yellow card. Should have been straight off for that challenge. And then, you know, gets away with one, and then just does something equally stupid, because, like,
He had another foul that he didn't get really. He got warned, I think, after the initial yellow card, and then, you know, goes in a bit late on Tanner McCarthy. Now, it wasn't the worst challenge in the world, but like,
it's 4-0. There's no need to be getting yourself sent off.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy.
And look, he deserves a good boot in the hole for that. There's no question about it, because, like, you know, life's hard enough here at the minute. And they've bullshit like that going on in the pitch. It's it must be infuriating for Patrick McElhinney coming in there, new job. I don't really know. Like, it seems like, you know, season has been written off. I know there's only 10 games left. Like, what are they going to do? They're not going to get, would they get another 10 points? Maybe, unlikely. So, like, you know, they aren't going to do anything playoff-wise this year. But do you want to... Do you want to just let your rest of the year peter out on you? You know, what are you doing as a player? It's all well and good talking about the philosophy and all of that, but I don't really see that being a thing, to be quite honest. I don't really know what. And he's only in there until the end of the season, right?
For now, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I just don't. I don't know what they really should do. Probably right off is the safest option at the minute.
Right, look, that's kind of the first division covered. We will go into the predictions league this week, just to let people know how things went on the most recent pod we did a couple of weeks ago. Low scoring week enough. You got 5 points. Gavin, who was, is that last week's one? Yeah, Gavin, who was playing for the listeners last week, he got 5 points as well, and I got 4. So the latest league standings look like this. You're on top on 157. The listeners are on 120, and I'm on 105. So 52 bloody points behind you. That is embarrassing. We will move into this week's predictions league, though. And let's see who we're going to pick here to join us. We will go with Kian Kenny. What club is that? He looks to be a poor old Sligo Rovers fan, is he? Or is he a Galway fan? Could be a Galway fan, I think, actually, yeah. So
he's suffering either way.
yeah, he's a Galway fan. So let's see. We're going to start with Derry against Sligo. Rovers, local derby. He's going for a 1-1 draw. Difficult to have faith in either of these two teams, Gary.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with the old 1-1 draw here, particularly with a bit of history with...
Derry filling the togs in this fixture.
Exactly. Thanks very much. I lost my words. didn't really know how to describe it, but yes, no, that's exactly it. You know, you think back of all the opportunities, like, you know, they were, could they have done something in years past? And then they were up playing against Sligo and they were filling the tugs. So yeah, I'll take it with a 1-1 draw here.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you on that as well. I think Galway and Drogheda, it probably has another draw written all over it too, to be honest.
This game is in AM&DC.
They're back in AM&DC, yeah.
Is this the first one back?
I think it is.
Yeah. A good win a few weeks ago against, not Drogheda, Sligo.
Nearly made a bags of it, though.
They did.
Yeah.
Not a bad result the other night against Bowes. They were nearly undone by Agent Hennessy playing for Bowes there. I'm sure people have seen that clip there where he didn't stop the game after completely stopping the ball going a different direction. And there was an arsehole about it on top of it. Madness.
Kian's going 2-0 to Galway. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here.
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Drogheda.
Oh, okay. Shamrock Rovers against Dundalk. Keane's going for a 1-0 win to Dundalk, and I'm glad to see that because I am also going to be going for a Dundalk win here. I think Rovers, after a good result tonight in Europe, it'll be all eyes on that second leg, and they could be vulnerable here to a slip up.
This is in Talla.
It's in Talla. Dundalk, that's a good one. 1-0 win for
Shamrock Rovers.
Okay, I'm going to go...
Let me go 2-1 Shamrock Rovers.
Right, I don't think Dundalk will keep a clean sheet. But are they going to score 2? If they're going to win, it's probably going to have to be a 1-0. I'll follow Keane here. I'll go 1-0 to Dundalk. He's gone. This is the live TV game, so for the bonus point, he's putting up Bobby Burns to score. Do you want to give me a goal score for Shamrock Rovers?
Aaron Green.
Okay, I'll go with the new lad Dylan to score. Dundalk, they've drawn and they've won against Rovers this season, so have been a tricky opponent for Shamrock Rovers. I think they'll get something in Tallaght.
Yeah, that was a great win up in Oriel Park, wasn't it?
Waterford against Bowes. The two informed teams in the league, really.
This game is on Sunday, I think, in the middle of the day.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Do you think Waterford could do a repeat?
I do. Not sure they will, but I can see there being goals in this. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Waterford.
Okay, and Keane's going for 2-1 win to Bowes. Shells against Pats then. That's also Sunday as well.
But this is in Talca.
Mm.
I don't believe Shells can do much here.
Can Pats do much either, though? Another game with draw written all over it.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to go for a nil-all draw.
Yeah, exactly what I'm going to go for as well. Great to see the UEFA giving Shells a dispensation to play the game against Ajax in Talca Park. I've even seen a few Ajax fans online when they're seeing the pictures of the stadium. They're actually buzzing to be going to an old-school venue like that.
Old-school is one way of putting it, all right. I can think of other words to describe it more correctly. Yeah, good luck. It's great for them. No question about it, but it's a real advertisement for work to be done on the stadia in this country. Yeah, I'll stick with the nil.
Yeah, okay. First division, Cork City against Kerry FC. Kerry on a great run of form, and Keane's going for a 1-0 win to Kerry. Of course, they did beat Cork earlier in the season.
No, I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Cork.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1 to Cork City there. There's just, I think the finish line in sight now, so they can get it done early and then have a good few months of celebrating. UCD against Wexford. UCD have gone cold of late, haven't they?
They have gone cold. You know, they filled in Cork, what was it?
Three or four weeks ago.
Yeah. It was only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but two bad results there. They'll be disappointed with
conceding a lot of goals.
Yes. They were unlucky with the loss last night against Treaty. Ball came down off the crossbar and hit the back of the keeper, which is just unfortunate. But Treaty did well to get the W on the board. UCD, but they're only 1-5.
Wexford aren't. They've had a couple of decent results late, but they're not reliable. I think a high scoring draw here as well. 2-2.
I'm going to go 2-1 to UCD.
Okay, Keane going 1-0 to Wexford. El Clasico on Friday, Athlone Town against Longford Town. And you like this, Gaz? Keane Kenny going 2-0 to the Real Town.
Yeah, it's very hard to. Very hard to see anything different here.
I've obviously not got much right in the predictions league this year. One thing I did get right on the pod was that the Athlone slide was coming, and by God, has it come.
That's the only thing you've ever predicted on this podcast, the way you're going on about that. Jesus, help us. Look,
Can I have a bonus point for that, please?
No, you cannot. I think the way Longford Town are playing, I think there's like massive performances going in most games.
They have struggled in this fixture this season, though. That's the one concern. But they really, on all known form, they should be winning this game on Friday.
I think the last two times they played at Lone was both on bank holidays.
True. Yes. Bank holiday Mondays.
Yeah. So, and, you know, they didn't have good bank holidays either of those weeks.
No.
So Longford Town have rectified their bank holiday blues, as we've seen this weekend. Two clean sheets, a real hard fought win down a Treaty. a sensational win against look, it was a poor Harp side with men sent off, but I thought Longford Town still played some nice football. And some of the goals were lovely as well. So Longford Town should be really, you know, striding into this game with a lot of positivity in their mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Longford Town.
That's what Kian's gone for, and I'm going to go with the same as well. Bray yeah, Wonders...
Just on that, I think, I don't know if you've seen the post, I think Longford Town's right back, Swazi Erhu, is...
He's got a bad one, unfortunately, yeah.
He's got a real bad injury there, yeah. A few bits gone in him, so... really disappointing because I know you interviewed him for Longford Town earlier on this season and he was like, hopefully he'll chip in with a few more goals. And he did.
Yeah.
Including a banger against Athlone on one of those bank holidays that we just mentioned. So yeah, look, it's a real setback for him because he was having a fantastic season and you know, he was being more effective in the final third as well
definitely
the first third. So look, best wishes to him, and hopefully he has a swift recovery.
100%. Bray Wanderers against Finn Harps. This could be another cricket score for Harps.
Certainly could. You know, Bray, bad weekend for them. You know, they got filled in down in the Carlisle against Kerry. Like, it was a sensational weekend for Kerry. I think Kazenga getting sent off obviously didn't help the situation for Bray.
They've lost a few players. Daniel Ring obviously going back to Shells as well. So they've lost a few bodies.
They have lost a few bodies. But yeah, like this type of stuff doesn't help the situation, like getting that sent off. So and it was two yellow cards, and I think it was inside the first half an hour or something like that. The two yellow cards were got, like, stupid shit that shouldn't just be happening. So, yeah, I think though, like, Harps had their own men sent off, and probably, you know, an off the ball, what could be three games for Bosicani, so a bit of an issue there. I think you were saying, like, they had like a couple of really young players on the bench there the other night, like, it's just a bit of slim pickings at the minute for McElhenney, so. This could be, I think they'll have to just do a bit of a reset at the back to start with and see what they go from.
I think McElhenney kind of hinted towards that when we were chatting to him there. I kind of, back to basics might need to be the approach for a couple of weeks. As he said, you know, you can't be conceding off quickly, taking free kicks not crossing down or not closing down crosses and free headers and stuff like that. So, they'll work hard to eradicate that type of stuff on the training ground, and imagine they've...
Just one other thing, just when you mentioned the philosophy change,
it's
very hard to instill much of a philosophy of anything when you're getting bit asunder week in, week out.
It just doesn't have the players.
No, he doesn't have the men, unfortunately. But look, I think for this one, there's only one real thing, and that's... I can't say that now, other than a 3-0 win to Bray.
Yeah, I think the fact that Bray have lost a few players and had a couple of setbacks, it might spare Harps a hammer in here. I'll go 2-0 Bray. I'm surprised to see Keane going for a 0-0 draw there. And that leaves us with Cove against an improving Treaty United side. And I think Treaty will get something out of this. I'm going to follow Keane once again. He's going 1-1. I'm going to go for exactly the same.
Yeah, this is... It's a tricky one for Cove. Like, they've been poor. A heavy loss last night in Tralee, but then a good result against Wexford. But that's been
the story of their season.
Yeah, they've been more bad than good. I'm gonna go for what was it? Keane went for
1-1.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Round it up.
BTS special across the board. Right, that's the predictions league. Let's move on to the Bar One Betting charity bet. It's been a couple of weeks, maybe a few weeks away from it. It'll do us no harm. I'm logged into my account first, Gary, so I'll just roll with it here.
Right.
I'm going to go down to the first division to start. And I am going to go with Longford Town. Great Longford Town are the outsiders against nice. Athlone. 15-8. Great price there. We'll have a bit of that. We'll have a bit of Bray Wanderers.
We will.
Right, the double there is less than 3-1. We're going to need more than that. Premier Division. No real bankers there for me.
Or Cork. Or go on ahead. Wait.
No, Cork have tripped us up way too many times this season. Geez, there's not much beyond that now. The Premier Division's very tough this week. Might go both teams to score in the Waterford Bows game. What does that bring us up to? Just shy of 5-1.
Sorry.
Right, I'll go with that for now. Tenner there. We'll give us just shy of 60 quid. I'm happy enough. I won't be greedy. I'll take that. And I will log into your account, Gary, and you can start rolling out your selections for us.
I'm going to go for Longford Town.
Okay.
I'm going to go for Bray.
Longford and Bray, yeah.
I'm going to go for UCD.
Okay.
What does that get me?
That's 137-20, so a tenner there would get you just shy of 80 quid.
Anybody in the... Who did you go for? You go for anybody in the Premier? No.
I just went both teams to score in the Waterford Bows game. There's no banker in the Premier this week.
What's under 2.5 in Shells and
Pats? Oh, that could be a good one. Let me see. Shells, Pats, under 2.5 would be on its own at 7-10. If you throw it into your ACA, it brings your ACA up to over 12-1.
Oh, lock it in.
So we're going Longford and Bray to win, UCD to win, under 2.5 goals, Shells, Pats, €10 stake. Returns Gary with a 5% ACA boost as well. Thank you, Bar One. That's a 139.77 return.
Load it up.
Okay, that's the chart you bet. Thanks to Bar One Betting for their continued support. We are working behind the scenes to maybe come to a decision on what charity we'll give the money to at the end of the season. So hopefully we can reveal a bit more on that on the pod in the next little while. But before we go this week, Gary, we've got the hotline as ever. So let's get stuck into that. Let's see, where is our hotline gone to? Here we go. Who's up first? Sam, he's quoted a tweet from LOI PD News that says, only Bohemians with 22 and Shamrock Rovers with 20 points have picked up more points than Waterford 19 since Graham Coughlin took over as manager. And Sam says, incredible job and incredible performance on Sunday. He's like a man. He says that Evan McLaughlin was like a man possessed. Yeah, he played very well on Sunday.
Yeah, well, look, it's good that Graham Coughlin has the time to be managing the team because he's lots of chirping going on the old socials.
Oh, LinkedIn of all places.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's great to see. I bloody love this.
I pass you every day in the hall. It's like, what?
Love right. to see. Nathan O'Reilly, two great wins for Kerry over the bank holiday. First ever win at Bray. Sean McGrath and Kian Murphy have been outstanding over the past few weeks. Campwell hasn't been missed since he left. We've got a good chance of getting a result at Cork, considering Longford beat them. A bit of shade thrown Longford's way there by Nathan. Prick. Owen, a lot of soul searching needed at Bray after Wexford losing Doyle, Corcoran and Ring with a lack of defensive and midfield options is a major concern. Could slip down the table. Attacking power with Ferrazine McCormick, quality still there, but only so much they can do. So yeah, I think we touched on that a minute ago, that they have lost some key players. Jason O'Sullivan, Kerry FC in unbelievable form. Scored 7 in their last 2 while conceding none. Unbeaten in 10 at home, while also having just 1 loss in their last 9. Great to see we're playing ball now and not hoofball. A lot better since Campwell has gone. That's a couple of Kerry fans that have said that, which is surprising given Killian Campbell's pedigree at this level. Pat Walsh, if Waterford do manage to stay up, would it be the greatest comeback ever seen in the Premier Division, considering we hadn't won a game in 13 before Graham came in?
No. No. Because Sligo are shite. Yeah, so as if they're catching someone that's like having a decent season.
I'm trying to think back down the years, though, and I can't think of... I can think of Athlone nearly getting out of trouble when Keith Long took over. I can think of ourselves in 07, should have stayed up only for the FAI. Jesus. That would have been the greatest comeback of all time.
That was our fault, but... yeah, I just thought, oh, we were so close. Waterford couldn't do us a favour.
Yeah,
shite bikes.
Yeah, they're two near misses I can think of. But in terms of teams actually surviving, that Galway team managed by Shane Keegan, they probably should have stayed up as well. Look, it would be whatever about catching maybe poor teams in front of them, guys. It would be a miraculous comeback from where they were. There's no doubt. Sean Kelleher, after not winning a game by more than one all year, Kerry go and beat two promotion rivals by a 7-0 margin. Something is brewing in Kerry. And Barry McNeil says, Pats and Kenny not going anywhere together. Same stuff every week. Teams know what we're going to do. At halftime, everyone in the stadium knew we weren't winning the game. Subs are mind-boggling and still can't believe we weren't more active in the transfer window.
Like, it's not a personnel issue, though, is it?
It shouldn't be, no.
No.
No, the squad's good.
Squad's good, yeah. They have the players. You know. I thought Keane Levy was up for the Ballon d'Or.
Unfortunately, yeah. he picked up an injury that left the stadium in a boot. Hopefully, that's not too serious because he's a joy to watch.
Yeah, well, he didn't play the other day. He did play the other day. Sorry.
He went off injured, yeah.
Yeah.
And Chris Forrester, apparently in hospital, so hopefully all is okay there as well. That's not nice to hear, but I mean, I did their game against Wexford recently in the Cup, and I think it was either five or seven changes that they made from their usual league 11. And it was still an unbelievable 11 they put out. Players like McClelland would walk into any other 11 in the country. Anto Breslin not starting as many games as he used to. Obviously, Aidan Keane has started that game. So much quality across the pitch.
Yeah.
Darren Nugent.
You know, Joe Redmond.
The veteran Gravosti go there. That'll tell you that they're happy enough with the strength of the squad. They're letting players like Gravosti go.
Yeah. But like, I don't really know. Like Edmondson has 9 goals this season. Keane has 6. I know he was out for a while.
Matt has obviously been out. Power's been out.
El Buzetti's been out.
Yeah.
Palmer is out. Or was he?
Yeah, he had. Well, he's been out. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was out. Like the, you know, I know it's there's a lot of unfortunate stuff, but like. I don't know. I think
are they harshly viewed in some ways though, because
I think you have to be harshly judging any team that is showing horror playing games.
But they were miles off it last season, hugely disappointing season, missed out on Europe altogether.
Yeah,
and now we're looking for them to go off the back of that season to go and win the title, and like. They have improved from last season, it goes without saying. Now, they had to improve. They couldn't have another season like they had last year. But they're currently second in the table. They're, 7 points behind Shamrock Rovers. They've missed a couple of opportunities there to close that gap. But they've won 12 of their 26. I think they still have the best home record in the division. If not, it's second or third best. Away form could be slightly better. But they're actually doing okay. I think it's the frustration of everyone. We all want a title race. And we're looking at Pats because of the quality of the squad they have. As the one that could go and give us that race, and when they're slipping up and not capitalizing in certain games, are we then viewing them more harshly than we actually should?
What? No.
Like, why is it a season too early for Pats to actually go and win a title?
Oh Jesus! Don't start. Like, you know, everything's too early.
Like their goal difference is plus 19, so they're not a bad side. I think it's fair to say
they're second in the league. We know they're not a bad side. They're not killing. They're not killers. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Will that come with time? Will that come with another season?
No. You know, Jesus, like, you know, oh God, you know, I might own a house in 30 years.
Look at Arsenal.
I don't give a shit about Arsenal. It's the same thing. I was listening to some politics podcast there. Oh, it doesn't really matter how much the Metrolink will cost. Wouldn't it be great in 100 years that we have this infrastructure? Yeah. Yeah, everything is great if you're not considering the cost. Everything is great for with Pats if next year, doing something next year is your goal. There's no problem now. Or, you know, I might win a league by 2030. Not everything is just, oh yeah, that's grand. We're getting there. It's a process. Sorry, some things just have to be better. And I don't think it's... I think they should be closer to Shamrock Rovers. They've had plenty of opportunities to do that and they're just not killing anybody. I don't think it's good enough.
Okay, fair enough. And finally, last question we've got is from LOI PD News. They want to know, should the Premier Division be expanded to 12 teams? This comes off the back of John Caulfield's comments, of course.
Oh, would you stop? Oh, who got a microphone in their face there the other day? Giving out about something.
Caulfield said that it should be expanded to 12.
No, I know that, but wasn't there some other Egan?
Not sure.
Oh, wait, no, hold on, though, because it rubbed me the wrong way. Was it Bradley, was it?
I don't know.
Oh, I wish now. Oh, no, my phone's died. oh, what is it? No, hold on. That annoyed me there. Sorry. Stop the lights. I can't remember who it was. But anyway, yeah.
But what was their point? Can you tell us that at least?
I can't even remember. I need my mind refreshed. It was this probably
great podcasting.
Yeah, but it just triggered that. like should it be a 12 team division? What's the point? Because everybody's playing each other too often, or what was it? What's John Caulfield's point?
I don't know. I just we're not there. We're miles away from there right now.
Yeah, I every time like we talk about it like this, we don't have the people, we don't have the bodies, we don't have the teams, we don't have the facilities. We just all that would be done. And I remember the time. Do you remember when there was 9 teams in the first division?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, Jesus Christ, that was grim. You had a bye week every so often. Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cat. Absolutely, yeah. Cat. Now, I guarantee you, if John Caulfield, remember, it took a few goes for him to get out of the first division with more money than God. And it still took a few rattles to get out of the first division. He wouldn't be crying about, oh, we need 12 teams, this and that and the other. I think it'd be, obviously, as a first division fan, as I said earlier, I wouldn't be a fan of that. But also, it'd just be stupid, really. It'd make the split between Premier and First that's already grown even more. And it'd probably be a bit of a strangling match to any team that's in the First Division. You know, or playing these again. Like, we'd have to probably quit talking about the First Division on the podcast because it'd be just the same games every second week. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What would be a more cleverer answer would be an All Ireland League. I know that hasn't been brought up too late. You know, for a couple of years ago, it was like there was another lad putting his head above the parapet about setting up an All Ireland League.
Kieran, was his second name Parcel by any chance? Or Kieran? I went to one of the kind of the workshops that was put on and watched the presentation and the ideas he had for it.
Yes, but like you could probably look at a presentation for, you know, some disease and that presentation would look good. I'll give me some of that. So like, I wouldn't really mind that. I think, you know, you have to study it yourself. Obviously listen to the people that are putting it forward, but we don't need to hear from them. It's the IFA and the FAI. That's the people that need to instigate this. I don't want to bring it up again. I don't really care that much right now, but like, would it be better in the long run?
The All Ireland League, it would. Yeah,
it would be. And like, one of the stumbling blocks that really bothered me the last time was like, oh, how do we decide who gets into Europe? I was like, no. The UEFA come along and give like 5 spots or whatever, a bit of like, the, you know, special dispensation or, you know, one team from the north of Ireland and one team from the Republic has to get a spot, you know, whatever way that works. And then sporting merit for the rest, for the other 2 spots or whatever it is. That's a micro dot of an issue for the growth of the game on the island as a whole. Do you know what I mean? Like we're starting chirping about, and not to get into this, but like, you know, a vote on stuff. That's been talked about now and frameworks and talking and meetings and reports and analysis and all of that is starting. I think, you know, could, like we already have it in the GA. Could we not do something like that for our sport as well? Why not?
Yeah.
I think that would be a more a better use of time than bitching and moaning about 10 or 12 teams.
Moving the deck chairs on the Titanic.
On the Titanic, yeah, bullshit.
We've done that several times down the years, and it's not achieved anything.
No, it hasn't. But like, it's small minded talking. That's
yeah, the Premier Division is stronger now than it's ever been. There's no need to go tinkering with it.
No, but John, I'll tell you what. Let's put everybody in the Premier Division. 20 teams in the Premier Division. You'd have a great time then.
You'd actually be better off doing that than making a 12 team.
Yes, by far. Yeah.
Right. That's it for this week.
Sinead, good to be back.
Yeah, great to be back. So that was the latest episode of the pod. I can't remember, 25 or 26, whatever I said. It'll be on your screens anyway as you're listening to this. So you know exactly what episode it is, even if I don't. But we were brought to you as ever by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners this season are Bart One Betting. From myself, Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley and all the team here at BTS, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.